How's it going, everybody? Welcome to Emerald City Hockey Post Game Live. After, I mean, was that the most brutal game to watch all season? I think it might be. It's in the running. It's certainly in the running. So definitely thank you so much to everybody who's joining us for this one, especially after a game like that, because it wasn't great. We'll get into things, but wow, 3-0 loss. Kraken struggling to get shots on goal. I know there's been times this year where the Kraken have, you know, been outshot and whatever, but they've made up for it in quality of chances. This was not one of those games. There's maybe a couple positives to look at in this one, but for the most part, this was just a rough game all the way around. Just an unexciting hockey game, and those are few and far between. All right, so we'll get into things here. Of course, going to thank our sponsor, Flatstick Pub, for sponsoring this. I mean, maybe that's it. Maybe the Kraken just thought we were at Flatstick, and the score of 0 was the best that you could get, right? Like, I mean, I guess you could get under, but they thought low score wins. Unfortunately, we're not at Flatstick. We weren't playing mini golf or duffel board. We're playing hockey, and that 0 doesn't help you too much. It certainly doesn't help you pick up 2 points in the standings, which the Kraken could really use right now as they try to chase down, you know, Vegas, LA, Nashville, whoever it ends up being. This is 2 points on the board that could potentially, you know, could have helped a lot. Just saying. This reminds me a lot, and let me know everybody's thoughts on this. Feels similar to the Sharks game from earlier, right? Where it was kind of a nothing game through two periods, that at any point, if the Kraken had just kind of taken control, they would win it. And then in the third period, they just kind of led up, and the other team's able to steal the momentum, score a couple goals, and then walk out of there with the Kraken just having not much to show for it. Like, this really reminded me of that Sharks game because it followed the same script. And again, this was your chance. I mean, was it like Winnipeg was playing that well through the first two periods? The Kraken at any point just could have stepped up and done it, and they just didn't. And that's, I guess, the sad part about this, the thing that's got me the most upset. Steve Dogg kicking it off with the oof. It's a pretty appropriate reaction to this one. I think we're all feeling that. I'm certainly saying, well, at least we still have Ebbs. Yes, we're going to have Ebbs for a couple more years. Happy about that extension for him. Sean, something must be done in the offseason to address this period. Stupid or not, I'm so with you. Like, these are the games that this year have really killed this team. I mean, like I said, I mentioned the Sharks game. You look at this one, the beginning of the year. Whenever they try to do this whole pucks in deep approach, which, you know, you heard Ellie Tolvanen talk about, that's clearly what they were trying to do in this one. It doesn't work. It does not work for this group of players. I don't know who, like, decided today that was going to be the game plan and then stick to it after period, where the team can't get a shot on goal. And you're just like, yeah, let's keep going like that. It's mind boggling. I really don't understand that, especially because you beat this team 3 days ago. Not doing that. You beat them by what I was talking about earlier on the deep dive. YOLO, right? You've got nothing to lose. Team's trading Wennberg, and the guys just went out there and they just played loose and they played fun the way they played all of last season when they had a lot of success. And I felt like that's how this team played at the beginning of the week. Right, you had defensemen activating, taking chances, joining up in the play. You had forwards trying to do more. They were moving around in creative ways in the offensive zone because they felt like they could. They weren't trying to adhere to a structure, and it was fantastic against Calgary and Winnipeg on that road trip. Those two, the back-to-back games, it was fantastic. And then you come into this one, and it's pucks in deep, rigid offensive zone structure. Let's try to do this. Let's grind it out. I don't get it. This team, that's what this team struggled with at the beginning of the year. It's what the team struggled with during their losing streak, the big one, right? And then to come back around to it for this game against a team that you had just beaten, not doing that. I'm very, very surprised and confused. I don't know what else to say. I just don't think it was a good call. The bottom line. B, not going to lie, this game was mildly excruciating to watch. Kraken Why are you not able to get a shot on goal? I thought we were past this. I did too. I thought this had kind of died back when they first had that big long losing streak back in, what was that, November, December? Boy, that feels like a long time ago. And then they've dabbled with it a couple times, but they've always like worked back out of it. I thought we were really done with this style of play. I thought we were done with dump and chase. I thought we were done with pucks in deep. I thought we were past that. I thought we were, especially at this week, entering kind of the new era for the season of just go for it, guys, because we have nothing to lose. We're on the outside looking in. We've got to make up a bunch of points, right? Four or five games worth of points. We got to make it up. Got nothing to lose. Go for it. Right? Team has struggled to score goals all year. That's what's keeping us out of the playoffs. Go for it. Try to score goals. We've got great goaltenders right now. They're making all the big saves. Go for it. And then the team just decided to go as conservative as possible. And I don't get it. I don't get it. I mean, the defense was good until it wasn't, but it was good through first, what, 50 minutes of this game. It was great. Did a good job. Winnipeg did nothing inside. Cool. But like, it doesn't mean anything if the offense can't get a shot on goal and you're going to be rocking 12 shots through two periods. Like, come on. Ah, what are we doing? Nicole, I listened to the deep dive. You said these next games could be exciting. I did. And that was my fault. So I will take the blame for that. It was just like last week's deep dive or the deep dive that we did back on Monday. We said, okay, the Kraken are out of it. It's too many points. And then they win and they get right back into it. And then we get excited and here we are. And now, and we're saying, yes, they could totally do this and they could play exciting games. We're working towards that. That's the direction they were heading, was exciting. And then we get this game and I just don't get it. They're compelled to do the opposite of what we bring up. And that's frustrating. Jessica, what was that? I don't know. They tell me it was a hockey game. It had all the elements of a hockey game, minus the fun. Edward, of all the games that the Kraken have played this season, this was one of them. Could not have said it better myself, Edward. Ricky, more fun when they scored four goals. Tell me about it. They wouldn't have lost if they'd scored four tonight. Just saying. Streak would have continued. Jake, I was hoping for a win tonight and against Vegas to put us really back in the hunt, but I guess it's not meant to be. That's what I'm saying. Like, if the Kraken were serious and they wanted to make the push and you won those two games earlier this week, you would come out with, you know, like your hair was on fire for this game. You'd be so riled up. You'd be pushing. You'd be clawing. You'd be doing all of the stuff. You would have passion and energy. And this team did not have passion and energy in this game. They did not come out playing that way. They came out flat and they came out struggling to get a shot on goal. And they were dumping pucks in and chasing them. It doesn't make sense. Like again, you're on the outside looking in. You have to win games. You have nothing to lose. If you lose, it doesn't matter. You're not going to fall out of a playoff spot, right? There's no reason to play as ultra conservative as they did, especially against a team you just beat doing the opposite. Like, I don't know, maybe this was like some 4D chess where they were thinking like, well, look, they just saw us play loose and fun and they lost to us. So they're going to game plan for that. And so we're going to take them off guard by being like really conservative and the opposite of that. And you were trying to outsmart them, but it didn't work. Like they just were like, okay, I guess they're just not going to get shots on goal. We'll just bide our time until your defense makes a mistake. And that's what happened. Winnipeg just waited for the Kraken defense to make a mistake. They get one goal off of it, and then the Kraken just collapsed, right? The momentum just completely left. They just went, what are we doing out here? We just played 50 minutes of great defense. It hasn't mattered, and the defense just completely crumbled and fell apart. And then you get that second goal where you have more Winnipeg Jets than Kraken down and around Joey Decord, or at least it felt that way. And they just, they're the ones all there with their sticks in and around Joey in the crease. And you just kind of have the Kraken standing there watching it happen. And right. Like, cause the defense, you've played a great game up until then. You've done your part of the equation perfectly fine. And the offense has given you nothing. You made one mistake and it was capitalized on by the other team. And that was just it. And that was this game. And that's not good. It's not good. Ed Kraken fan page official. Wow, terrible offense. Zero chemistry on all lines tonight. Riker looked good in the first and second, at least. I guess Decor as a whole looked good through the first and the second. It just they couldn't do everything tonight, and especially because they weren't trying to contribute offensively. And so the somebody on offense, literally anybody, all it was going to take was one guy on offense to step up in this game and maybe make something. And nobody did. Nobody did. And then you'd get like one or two opportunities where it was right. There was, I think it was the Yanni Gourde line has that like 3-on-1, 3-on-2. And the defenseman for Winnipeg was able to break it up. You get Andre Burakovsky with a breakaway chance and his stick snaps. As he goes to just take a wrist shot, his stick just breaks in his hand. Like, it was just one of those days. B, bright spots. Joey was good. No dumb, frustrating penalties. I'm grasping at straws here, not going to lie. Those are good straws to grasp at, though. Joey Decord is back. The rest, he has recovered. He's played two good games here back-to-back. I'm really happy with where Joey Decord is at. I don't think any of this was on him. This was defense, you know, made a mistake, got beat on the first one. Second one, they just kind of gave up on him. That's the way I would view these. Those aren't on Joey. He did a great job. I'm with you. The frustrating penalties, we didn't see any of those. Good discipline from the team. They've really done a good job for a while now with that, with the discipline. So that was good. So I'm with you there on that, B. Schultz with the super chat here. This team has a fear of backup goalies. Is that what it is? Is it just we can't play against backup goaltenders? Oh, my gosh. It's crazy. It's crazy. Like, again, like they're not even playing Connor Hellebuck. The guy you got to be afraid of is not in net. I know Brassois is having a really good season, and he did look good tonight. But, like, oh, there were so many chances for the Kraken to take this game. This game was there if they wanted it, and they just – it just felt like they didn't want it. And that's the frustrating thing, because they're in a spot where if you want to go to the playoffs, you have to want it. Like that's the difference of you getting in or not is wanting it. And they just didn't really hear. And that's. Super chat here. And thank you for the pronunciation like this. Gurna. I blame Berkey. He can't hold on to the puck to save his life. Every time he touches it, in 5 seconds, he's giving it away to the opponents. Also, why not play Gru? So Joey versus Vegas. Tiger. Sorry. Even with the pronunciation, then I skipped the first part. Apologies. Berkey, like I said, he gets the opportunity. He gets the breakaway. Great hustle play. He's getting down ice. Goes to take the wrist shot, and just his stick breaks. It breaks in his lower hand. You can see he goes for the shot, and it just breaks. And it's just unfortunate. I mean, that's just bad luck. Like, it's not even on Berkey. And then the rest of it, there was times in the offensive zone. He's the only player I can think of who tried to cycle in the offensive zone. And by cycle, I mean take the puck and go around the boards with it. I'll grab the whiteboard. He's the only Kraken player I saw tonight. No, sorry, Afra. It's not treats. It's the whiteboard. It's treats for everybody else at home. He's the only player I saw tonight to ever collect a puck down low, go along the boards, and cut towards the middle, trying to find a play. And he only did it once. That was the state of the Kraken in this one. That was the state of their offense. I only saw one guy do that one time. It was rough. Why not play Gru? So Joey versus Vegas. I don't know. Maybe they just like Joey based on the earlier this week, him getting the win against the Jets. Maybe they just want to go back to Joey. They're worried about overplaying Gru. I don't know. That's a good question, because I would have probably gone back to Gru. I think Gru had been playing better. I know Joey had come in and played okay, but I probably would have gone back to Gru myself if it was me. So I'm with you there. I would have gone with Gru. That Kraken fan page official agreeing with Tigerna. Berkey really didn't have a shot and didn't try to make it better. I have always disliked him and want him gone next year. Well, Berkey's not going to go anywhere. The contract is unmovable. I mean, he has a no trade clause, but it's unmovable. It's a lot of term at a big number for a guy who gets hurt a lot. So I'm sorry to disappoint, but Berkey's not going anywhere. I don't know. It's just been a hard time finding guys to have chemistry with him. It's been really hard finding a place for him. He's played individually well, but I will totally join in it's been a problem. It has been a problem, Berkey, just finding a spot, finding a home in the lineup and playing consistently well and playing well with other guys. Because you need that, right? Hockey is a sport where you need that. There's very few times where the player is so good that they can just play their own game and it works out for everybody else. Hockey is a sport where you need to mesh and kind of find a home and work as part of the unit. Unless you're Connor McDavid level, right? Like, then he can get away with it. Auston Matthews can get away with it. Nobody on this team can get away with it. And it's not that Berkey plays bad or that Berkey plays selfishly. It's just that he just doesn't have chemistry with anybody. And part of that is, I think this year he's been hurt so much. He's missed more. He's just now gotten to the point where he has played more games in a Kraken uniform than he has been hurt for. Right? Like two games ago, that wasn't the case. He'd been hurt more in his Kraken career than he has played. So I think a lot of this just comes down to not having reps. We know how much Hextall throws the lines into the blender, especially last year, Berkey's first year here. And then this year, we know Berkey's missed so much time that I just think it's the fact that Andrei Burakovsky, as we're approaching the end of his second year with this team, has played in like 73 games. He's played less than one full season's worth, and we are less than 20 games away from the end of his second season here. And I think that a lot of it just comes down to he has not played enough with guys to develop any sort of chemistry. And I'm putting that on there, and you can say I'm defending him or whatever, that's fine, but I truly believe that that is the problem because he is better than the production he has given. I know that. I've seen him be better. We've seen him play better with the Kraken than what he is producing right now. And so I wonder how much of it is lingering injuries and how much of it is just he just can't find a spot. He can't find guys that he's just comfortable with. And it's a big deal. AK, the guys did not have Decord's back this game. A shame. Greed, at least for that second goal. I will agree with that. Gabrielle, I was like, well, I'll take a boring game over a slaughter. Then the third happened and I regretted everything. I think that's kind of where we were all at, unfortunately. Cole really needed a shift in tactics. Trying to play down low all night just wasn't working. Again, yes, I understand doing the 4D chess thing, coming in with that being your game plan for this game, but I don't understand sticking to it. It wasn't working in the first period. It really wasn't working come either TV timeout of the second period, right? A second period where you got four shots on goal. At any point, you can just tell them to not do that, and they won't do it, and they can try to do something else. I put a lot of this game on the coaching staff. I really do. Lindsay, all I want now is for the Kraken to beat Vegas. Find a way, boys. That'll be awesome. I hope we can do that. That's really what this team needs. That's really, really what this team needs. Let's see. Joey played well for the most part. There's that from Sean. Agreed. Maddie, glad to see Riker back in the lineup. Sad that it's because Dunn is still out. Yes. And we'll see how long that is. It was great that Dunn was out there on skating, earlier today, and stuff. So that's good. He's out there. He's moving. As we know, historically speaking, that means that they're close. So that is good. Let's see. I made this joke on Twitter, but that was legit, like watching two people trying to learn how to play NHL 24 from Russ. Oh, Russ, you nailed it. That is exactly what this is. This is like if I had handed the controller to my parents and said, hey, play this game. That's what it would look like. And it was just whoever figured it out finally in the third got the dub. That's what this game was. Oh, man. Ricky, Flatstick's on brand for this game. It absolutely is. Like I said, low score, putting up a zero. Great at Flatstick. That's what you want to be doing at Flatstick. Not so much at Climate Pledge Arena. Very rude of the Firebirds not to share some of their five goals with us from Lindsay. I know. Come on. let's see. Totally reminiscent of the Sharks game. Yep, which is painful. I know. Railway RC, not the best way to start the homestand. No, could be better. Could have been better for sure. Sharks game was worse because of the Sharks. I will give you that. Game is on the line and they can't get to Cord out of the net from Aaron. This has been another historic struggle for the Kraken. I mean, for whatever reason, but when they need to pull a goalie, they cannot pull a goalie. They can't establish and maintain control of the puck. Certainly not on a night like tonight where they, like I said earlier, they had one play where it felt like a player controlled the puck in the offensive zone, right? Like there was never a time where they controlled the puck in this game. That wasn't what they were going for. They were just going for dump and chase and then throw something wildly, vaguely towards the net, but not on net, because then it would be a shot on goal. And they just didn't. And that's been a struggle for them. But tonight in particular, you just knew it wasn't going to happen. It wasn't going to be easy. But I'm with you, Aaron. That is an issue for them. Light with the super chat. A lot of people yelling about how Ron should be like Vegas, but I have a suspicion a lot of those people would be furious if Ron traded away Shane. Yeah. So with the whole Vegas thing, right? Like Vegas and Tampa, I feel like are two good examples of a team in your window. When you are in your Stanley Cup competitive window, it makes all the sense in the world. Trade your first round pick every year. It doesn't matter if you're replenishing talent because you have the talent you need right now. Go for it. Now, the difference between Tampa and Vegas is that Tampa treats people well. And when they trade them, they talk to them. They inform them through the process. They say, this is what's going on. They talk to their fan base and they go, look, it sucks that we had to do this, but we're doing this and we think it makes us better. And it's just the reality of sports. Whereas on the other hand, you just have Vegas who will just blindside a player by shipping them out of town, blindside the fan base, not really ever give them an answer and just do it. And yes, I do not want Ron to turn into that. I'm fine with the way they conduct business in the sense that, yes, every year you're active and you're trading away futures and you trade away all of your prospects. That is what a team in their window should do. It's what Tampa does. But there's still also like a way you can go about it that isn't awful. And Vegas doesn't choose to go in that route. They choose to go the cutthroat way. And I guess all I can say is I'm happy that Tampa has multiple Stanley Cup wins out of that instead of Vegas. But there will be a time in the future, hopefully anyway, where the Kraken are in that spot, where the Kraken with the core of Beniers and Shane and whoever else, Riker Evans, are going to be in a spot where they are in their Stanley Cup competitive window. And yeah, they're going to be trading away prospects and it's going to be rough to watch them go, but that is what they need to be doing. That you have to go all in when you think you've got a chance to go all in. So we will see. Lindsay, that Tatar crossbar will haunt my dreams. Totally different game if that goes in and gives the boys some spark. Yes. That was their best chance probably of the evening. That or the Berkey breakaway where his stick breaks. I mean, that's really it. JTB Hockey, can we talk about Alexiak? He's starting to become a huge liability. He's been so up and down this year. I mean, I haven't been shy about criticizing Adam Larson this season. Something's up with him. He has not played up to his level this year. Vince Dunn has played really well with the exception of the discipline issue at times where he gets a little excited and he'll take a dumb penalty. That's really the big issue with Vince Dunn. Jamie Alexiak has been up and down, right? Where Lars has just kind of been not great all year. Jamie Alexiak has had moments this year where he was fantastic. I mean, he started the year really good, right? Like back at the beginning of the season, we were talking about like, wow, Alexiak looks fantastic. And then he's gone just through some up and downs. And then you have games like tonight where, again, the deep group as a whole, all six of them played a really solid game. They did not let Winnipeg get inside. They didn't let them do anything. They were taking a bunch of shots from far out. And then once they got beat, they just got beat and that was it. And I don't get it. But yes, Alexiak has been volatile this year. Not in the way that Vince Dunn's volatile. He's been up and down this year, Jamie Alexiak. There have been times where, yes, he'll join Will Borgen in a corner instead of staying at home. And you're just like, why? Or he'll puck chase or he'll follow as a pass goes across. He'll follow the puck and he'll go with it and then leave his side open. Like there isn't that understanding between him and his D partner where he can have the freedom to do some of the things that he does sometimes. And I don't know whose breakdown in communication that is, whether it's him or Will Borgen, but there have been a lot of times where that has been the case this year where Jamie Alexiak goes to do something and Borgen doesn't cover him. And then it just looks like Jamie Alexiak wandered off to do something and just left his area on the ice. And again, that could be that he's not communicating with Will Borgen and it's on him. It could be that Will Borgen's not picking it up. Whatever the reason, it hasn't been good at times this year. Let's see here. Phil Costanza doing the opposite. Oh my gosh, tell me about it, Ricky. Tell me about it. Let's see. Saddest part is McCann broke his shorty streak from Daniel. It is. Oh, poor guy. Poor guy. It's because we didn't take any penalties, as Lindsay's pointing out. That was the problem. Kraken should have taken a penalty, and then we could have scored. We could have had McCann get one going. That's what we were missing. Cole, I wonder if the players were trying to send a message to the front office for a quiet trade deadline. If so, they'd be like the first group of players to really do so. Usually the way it goes is teams will play like better right after the trade deadline because all of the pressure's off. They don't have to worry anymore. They know where they're going to be at least for the next couple months if their contracts are up, right? And so they play a lot more relaxed. And this, it looked like they were more uptight than ever. Gabrielle, is it just weird energy from the trades? Maybe team was expecting some moves and we just didn't see much. I mean, maybe if things were far along with Jordan Eberle and they thought that they were going to lose Jordan Eberle and he is as important to that locker room as everybody says he is and as we think he is. Again, it's impossible to know without being there, but I trust everybody when they say how important he is to the locker room. And they really were wrestling with the idea of him being gone. Yeah, maybe it was just like that release of energy and they were just kind of left with nothing after that. Like that energy left and they like exhaled and then that was it. And maybe, I don't know. I'm grasping. Let's get RJ in here and ask him his thoughts. RJ, have you ever seen a team right after a trade deadline that asleep?
I can't remember. I feel like I have, but I can't remember when. I mean, the Kraken, it's interesting. Hackstall's comments after this one, he said he didn't feel like they had a whole lot of energy tonight. And he said he didn't mind the effort. He didn't have a problem with the effort. He's like, the guys worked, but I just felt like we didn't have a lot of gas in the tank. So kind of hinting that the guys may have been tired for this one, I suppose.
You know what? I actually agree with that because they were. They were doing the dump and chase. They were putting pucks in deep. They were going for it. The D did a great job through most of this game, first 50-ish minutes, right? They were doing their job. Nothing was really getting in on Joey Decord. But there was just, you know, there was a lot of opportunity to seize this game and they just never did. Now I am a little confused, RJ, by their decision to go with the pucks in deep, dump and chase, try to play that way when you didn't play that way earlier this week and look how well it worked for you. Like, where did this come from? All year this has not worked well for them. That's how they started the season. That's how they played during their big long losing streak. I'm very, very confused why for this game they decided that should be the strategy and why they stuck with it after it clearly wasn't working for as long as it wasn't working.
Right. I mean, again, maybe a lack of energy thing that you just don't have enough gas in the tank to execute a different game plan, plus the line shuffling with Jaden Schwartz being out early. I guess that's kind of my only theory as to why. But otherwise, yeah, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to change up your game plan from what worked in the very last game against the same opponent. I don't know. I couldn't ever, you know, get a real answer out of a player. I don't know. Maybe the ice was bad. Like at the beginning of the game, it was super sloppy for both sides. It just felt like neither team, anybody could just settle the puck on their stick. It was kind of going under sticks. It was bouncing over sticks. I thought the ice might not have been the best either.
Yeah. Sam, they'll be in exciting games, you said. They'll be playing wild and desperate, you said. They finally got goal scoring, you said. If you're this good at jinxing, why hasn't Hogwarts called you guys? It's a good question. I guess because we're in America.
Hey, finally it's you, Dylan.
Yeah. Yeah. No, whoever is listening and decided they needed to do the exact opposite, that the Kraken were having too much fun because I caught on to it. Good on you. You accomplished your job.
Yep, mission accomplished.
Did this not remind you of the Sharks game, RJ? Just nothing through two periods. At any time, you can take control of this game and you just decide not to. Other team gets a goal, you fall apart, and then you just leave.
Yeah, it had the same exact kind of tempo to it. I mean, the thing that makes it, in my mind, a lot more defensible than that is just the opponent and who you're playing against, where the Jets actually are a good hockey team. And so if you're doing that to them, you're not getting run out of the building. Like, it could be worse. But yeah, it felt a lot like the San Jose game. And I mean, that was the conversation all up in the press bridge, was just this game, like this stupid, boring game.
Yeah. Sergey with the super chat here. The only good thing was RJ publishing me catching the puck from Nick for my 7-year-old daughter. Thank you, RJ.
Oh, good. Glad I got that on video. That's you. That's so cool.
Yes, definitely. That was a great moment. Good on you, RJ.
Nick actually threw a second puck into the crowd later in the game, too. Another one went over towards him.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, this is what you should be doing. And thank you for the super chat there. One of the things that I was just talking about when you joined us here, and I think I saw it there, absurdly saying, I think there's probably something to be said for an emotional let up because of the trade deadline. Do you think that that's part of what this is? Because normally we see guys are more relaxed and they play a little better after a trade deadline because they know where they're going to be. They're locked in now. But I do wonder if Jordan Eberle really was that up in the air, and given how important he is to that locker room, I do wonder if maybe there was a lot of nervous energy and this was just kind of like a sigh of relief, like everything happened today, emotional let up, and that's maybe why there wasn't as much of the go-get-it-ness?
I mean, I wouldn't rule it out, especially given how they played in the two games after the Wennberg trade became obvious. You know, clearly the opposite had a good effect on them. I mean, as happy as they are to have him around, I mean, Joey talked about it after the game. He said, you know, obviously he called him a legend. He called Eberle a legend and said, you know, everybody, he said, I think I can speak for everybody in this room when I say we're really happy to have him back. We're thrilled that they got a deal done. But you're right. I think, you know, maybe that is kind of a sigh of relief, which, you know, maybe isn't the best emotion, I guess, to go into a competitive hockey game with.
Would you have started Gru tonight, RJ? That's been another thing that we've talked about. And I see Sean bringing it up. I would have played Gru tonight, but that wouldn't have mattered. Would you have started Gru? I think Joey played but I might have started Gru anyway.
Yeah, I think I would have gone with Joey still, just given that you gave him the last game he played against this opponent. You know, they won. And again, it ended up not being the problem, of course.
Yeah, well, look how good it worked for Winnipeg playing the different goaltender.
Yeah, I guess I guess so.
That's the way it is.
Helps when you can score a goal, too.
Tell me about it. And as Robert's saying, the Kraken are 28th in the NHL in goals. We need more goal scorers. Christian, we got Mr. Hyde, or is it Dr. Jekyll? I don't know which Kraken is which in this analogy. I mean, it really does feel that way with this team, RJ. It's just not great. Not great. Play more disc golf. Not a great showing for my bro's first Kraken game. I'm very sorry for your brother and for you. If you're really hyping it up and then taking him in there for that one, not great. I'm with you there. Let's see. Talking about, you know, is next year the year we get to question the GM from Sean, Ricky, nobody's going anywhere, rerunning the machine forever and ever. I mean, it kind of goes to some of what we touched on earlier on the deep dive.
Yeah, it does. I do think next year, though, and I know you were kind of trying to take some of that emphasis off of this summer specifically, for Francis anyway, because you just weren't sure really what would even be available over the summer. And I understand that argument. But certainly next season, you know, if you go on another, you know, 9-game losing streak and you're, you know, where you were this year in October, November, and it starts to go that way, I think certainly at the very least, the coach starts to get looked at. If it's not his fault, we just know that's kind of how it works. But I think, yeah, next year, again, they've made the playoffs last year. That set the bar. And Francis, I remember I asked him kind of directly after last season ended, or as the offseason was starting, what in your mind would be success next year, meaning this season? And I thought he might say, you know, well, we want to go and kind of try and win another playoff round and progress past where we got to. But no, he said, just make the playoffs. Like, that's the goal every year. Make the playoffs, and you never know what happens when you get in, but making the playoffs is the goal every year. And so I think if you don't do that for 2 years in a row after making it, you know, then of course, by his own standards, by his own definition, it starts to come into question.
Yep. That's a good answer, RJ. Gabriel, how can he find a home when he's constantly injured? Talking about Andre Burakovsky. Right. There's some people talking about him. Of course, gets the great breakaway chance, RJ, just to break his stick. I mean, it's just the way the season's been going for him. But I really think that a lot of the at times his struggles have just been he's been so hurt through his entire career with the Kraken that he just doesn't have a home yet. Right. Doesn't matter what line he's on. He just doesn't have that kind of instant chemistry with somebody. He needed to develop chemistry with somebody. And between Hakstol last year with the line blender and then this year with Berkey being out so much, he just hasn't had time to find his place yet.
Right. I mean, he hasn't found a home on a line, really. And it's just tough to build chemistry when that's the case. And also, I mean, on a play like that, too, I just hate how that all came together for him. Right. He's got a breakaway. he's trying to set up his move and then getting tripped like that, which, you know, I get it. It's a tripping penalty. It happens. But then to go barreling into the goalie, like, again, that's one of those things where you're just thinking in the moment, like, oh, no, not again here. You know, it's just, it can be scary to kind of play with that the whole time. And it's just hard to be yourself when that stuff keeps happening.
Play more disc golf. Does anyone know what happened to Schwartz tonight? I'm assuming no update.
Yeah, of course, no update from Haxtell. I think we all, a lot of us know the drill by now. You're not going to ever get updates the night of. But yeah, he went out, I think 8:10 left in the first period was his last shift. I went back and watched the last shift, and he was kind of hunched over. And as they were waiting off of an icing faceoff, so he couldn't get a change right then, he was kind of wincing a little bit, looked to be in some discomfort, maybe holding one of his arms. I tweeted the video of that, so if anyone wants to go back at our Twitter and take a look. But nothing obvious. He didn't take any hits on that shift. Maybe it was the shift before. But, you know, upper body, out for game. We'll find out more tomorrow.
Yep. Lots of talk about the Golden Knights and how they handled the deadline. I don't know if there's anything you want to add to that, RJ, that we kind of didn't talk about earlier. I know we'll talk about them some more tomorrow on the Patreon podcast. But just throw that out there. I did give, you know, the thoughts of, you know, your team in your window. You go for it. Right. Tampa did the same thing. Just go for it.
Yeah. I mean, just in summary, I love the moves from them. I think super savvy. They handled it really well. You know, we'll cover it more on Red Glare tomorrow, but that's how you want to handle things in that spot.
Lindsay, Berkey's stick took breakaway too literally.
Yeah.
Randall with a good question here. How much did losing Schwartz affect our game plan? Tanev on that line with McCann and Bjorkstrand was pretty ineffective.
I think a lot, and that might be part of why they kind of went for that simplified type of game, because again, when you have someone like Tanev in your top six instead of a Jaden Schwartz, Tanev's not a finisher. He's not a scorer. We know this about him. You know, he plays more of that kind of straight line game and just skate with the puck and try and get pucks deep and chase them down. And so it changes what you have to do, the complexion for an entire line. And yeah, I think that has to kind of change the game plan, at least to an extent when they're on the ice.
Yeah, no, it's true. I think, although again, I don't like the game plan at all for this game. Like all the lines.
Oh, I don't either.
It, I don't know that it would have ended up mattering, but I do think that yes, it was a lot less effective with him. Without him, I should say. Mm-hmm. Steve Shane writes projected to be a defensive minded third line center, right? Like Wennberg for next year.
I think. Yeah, well, I mean, I think you'd give a better answer to this, okay, but I think he's got a lot more finishing talent than Alex Wennberg does, and that's going to be the primary key. He's also going to drive the net and go to the net a lot more than Wennberg. Anything else to add?
Yeah, I mean, and Ricky saying, like, Wennberg with 30 goals. Yeah, he might not get 30 right away in his first year, but I think what the Kraken have been working on him a lot with, especially after the playoff run he had last year in the OHL, where maybe he didn't push the offensive issue as much as he probably should have. The whole like game plan this year in Coachella Valley has been really pushing him out of his comfort zone to be aggressive, right? Offensively, try to get him to go to the net, use his size. He's got fantastic size. He's got the perfect build to be a guy who can kind of go play in the slot. He liked doing that when he was younger and junior, and then he kind of went away from it as he focused on rounding out his game. And I think this year in Coachella Valley, it's all been about getting him back to what he's good at, which is going to the slot, scoring goals from the slot, being big, being unafraid to go net front if he needs to as well, and know that, hey, you're a man now, right? He's 19. He's got the body of a man. These guys aren't going to hurt you. And I think that has been a big lesson that he's learned this year in Coachella Valley that he will be able to, you know, translate with him to the NHL next year. And so that's something I'm really looking forward to, because as you talked about earlier on the podcast, Kraken don't have somebody who can just drive the net. They don't have somebody with just a big body who's going to go down there and score a goal from there. And that's what Shane Wright's been doing this year in Coachella Valley has been he's scoring a lot of goals from there. And so I'm really looking forward to that. And I think having Matty Beniers around and Yanni Gourde also still being under contract for next year while it's Shane's first year on the roster, I think they're going to be able to really have him focus on offense next year, get going, build confidence offensively next year. Don't worry so much about the defense. We got two other guys to worry about defense. We need you to be the guy to step up offensively. And I think that might be the direction they go with him next year. Yeah. And then Light with the super chat. Speaking of Shane, it was a good night to be a Firebirds rookie. All of them except Melanson got a point tonight.
Oh, that's cool.
That is really good. Yes, they took all the scoring today. That
seems been, like I saw the comment in here earlier. I'm sure you probably read it already, but the it was rude of the Firebirds to not share one of their five goals with us. You know, that got a chuckle out of me as we were waiting for Hackstall.
Yes. Zoe, at least Dylan got his wish for a more interesting postgame. That I did. I did not expect to be as fired up for the start of this one as I ended up being, RJ.
Mostly, oh, really?
Yeah, mostly criticizing the Kraken game plan and the refusal to leave it at any point.
I saw you pull out the whiteboard, actually. Like, right as Hackstall was stepping up to start his availability, I saw you pull out the whiteboard. I'm like, okay, I have to pay attention to one of these, but I want to pay attention to the other one.
I did that to defend Berkey a little bit, because Berkey, correct me if I'm wrong, RJ, there was one time all evening where I saw one Kraken player take the puck and try to do a cycle with it. Not just passing cycle, but actually move their body with the puck with control and move around in the offensive zone. And that was Berkey one time, and I don't think I saw another Kraken player do it the entire evening.
I think I remember the time you're talking about, and yeah, I can't think of another one.
like that's how rough this game was.
I think you have a bunch of jet cycles, like especially in the later part of the game. Yeah, I can't remember any for the Kraken.
No, like that. And so that's what I was doing. Like, I was just like, there was one time a Kraken player did just this, and it was a simple little thing, and that was it. That's the way we're at. That's where we were at earlier in the postgame show here, RJ. Coop, I find it a bit amusing, yes, also maddening that we're still somehow surprised by our team, who's been wildly inconsistent all year, continuing to be inconsistent. This is who the team is this year, lol. The problem is we don't know when it's going to happen. Right? Like, they were streaky before, so I thought we were good for another 2 to 3 games off of earlier this week, but I guess we're now inconsistent about how often we're inconsistent?
That's inconsistency, Dylan.
I know! I don't like it. You can't do this to the guy with anxiety issues, okay? This isn't good for me.
Someone please think of Dylan.
I know! Tell them that. I'm practice tomorrow, you think?
Yes. Hackstall alluded to it, yes.
Yeah, I can't imagine they wouldn't after this, but tell them that tomorrow. Just be like, Ebs, you didn't get traded, you're here for another 2 years. This is what you need to do.
Yeah.
Do it for Dylan. Light, my favorite part about these post-game chats is when people assume they know how the offseason will go and then get mad at those assumptions. I mean, look, the offseason will always be the offseason. I really, like I did earlier on the podcast, this offseason is not going to be exciting. But I don't think it's going to be exciting for like 31 teams in the league. Like, it's just not going to be an exciting offseason for anybody. Oh, there's too many general managers in the middle of their contract cycle. Nobody's going to be selling. Nobody's going to be doing anything stupid. There's only one free agent, and that's if Jake Guentzel doesn't re-sign with Carolina, which he's already alluding that he might. So, like, it's going to be a miserable offseason for everybody.
Okay, Dylan, you said 31 teams. Who's the one team it'll be exciting for?
Well, I was initially thinking whichever team signs Jake Guentzel. That'll be the one team that did something, but that's probably just
I don't think
Carolina.
He'll make it there.
Yeah, so I don't know. So one team will find a way to do one thing that'll be mildly exciting, like sign Colin Miller.
Okay. That's your bar.
That's my bar for this offseason. It's going to be rough. Just be ready, everybody. Yeah. George Costanza, is it too early to start following Tankathon? I feel a great prospect is a more tangible outcome for this season. No, it's never too early. Go for that. I mean, again, the Kraken, they can still go in that direction if they decide to, if they're going to play like this every night, RJ.
It's going to be hard with how easy the schedule is. Mm-hmm. Dylan, they play Anaheim 3 times. They play San Jose. It's going to be really tough down the stretch.
We've lost to San Jose. Is there a way that we could petition to play that game in San Jose? Because then it's a guaranteed loss.
Yeah, okay. Well, that gets one game out of the way. The 3 Anaheim games are going to be really tough.
Oh, it's going to be really, it's going to be very frustrating.
In Arizona, like 2 or 3 times.
The schedule's, it's going to kill me. Steve, just make the playoffs is the Mariners philosophy with the crying emoji.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'd like to think the difference in long-term would be the Kraken actually do it.
That's true, they did. They did.
It's easier to do in the NHL. Half the teams make it.
They did. That's true. That's true. Thanks to Maddie and Light for pumping the Patreon there, telling everybody what a great time it
yeah,
is.
Thank
it
you.
Is a great time. Let's see. Ricky, this team is less than 10 goals from being a playoff team, but agree playoffs should be a side benefit from overall growth in year four. Yes, I think just making the playoffs last year and then going on the run, RJ, it just threw everything out of whack. The whole thing got blown up year two because they were too good. They shot, too high shooting percentage, and it just wrecked everything.
Yeah, I mean, it did kind of change expectations in a way we didn't. I don't know. No one saw it coming. It was not part of the plan.
No, it wasn't. I don't get it. Let's see, Edward. Oh, wait, there's actually someone in chat called Play More Disc Golf. I thought Dylan was trying to work in some subliminal sponsor drops for Flatstick Pub.
That threw me off, too, at first, because for these home games, I can't see chat. So that did throw me off.
Yes. If Schwartz is out, who gets called up? Shore, or could this be a right pathway from Schultz?
I suppose it could be. Like, if they're desperate, again, this next game against Vegas is huge. As far as if you're going to have, any chance in the playoffs, in the playoff hunt, you have to win these two games against Vegas. Look, you got six games to burn. I mean, Ron Francis was asked about Shane Wright, whether he's an option the rest of this season. He didn't say it outright, but certainly reading between the lines, it does not sound like he wants to burn a year of the ELC. And I don't blame him. I think he's kind of on board with that. You can't afford to do it. So you got six games to work with. I've always been of the opinion, just like, well, why not now if you mm-hmm. feel like you could use him? But I don't see it coming right away. I think it'd be later in the season, if anything.
Well, and I was just going to say, you rattled off all the other teams that get to play a bunch, Arizona, Anaheim, San Jose. You going to call them in for the games against Vegas?
Yeah, that would be pretty rough. Yeah, I think it's more the type of thing that, like, if they fall out of the playoff race and it's clear they're not going to make it, then you bring him in for some of those later games, maybe against some not so good opponents. Let him really build up that confidence, get a little NHL, a few more NHL games under his belt, send him back to Coachella Valley and, let the playoff run start.
Yep. Let the fans see him. Let the fans get excited.
Mm-hmm. Give them something to get excited about. Yeah.
Re-up their season tickets. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let's see. What's the likelihood we get done back against Vegas from Zoe?
Man, you never know with injury stuff. Hackstall has given us no updates. Even today with Dunn being on the ice, he said no update to his status. Francis, did he say he said he was hoping that Dunn could go today, but he won't be able to go. That could just be, of course, hoping your guy is healthy.
Yeah.
The fact that he was on the ice tells me there's a chance, but I'd still give it less than 50%.
It tends to bode well for them. Zoe, I feel like, Dylan, you're missing the potential of Kyle Dubas to do Kyle Dubas things. Yes, I guess if that will be the thing. The one team out there that does stuff. I don't know that it'll be good, but it'll be stuff. It'll be Kyle Dubas in Pittsburgh after all this. That's
all right.
Sure.
Crosby will go to Colorado, and that'll be the interesting thing.
That would be something. That would be definitely something. Poor Gino and Letang for re-upping there. Just to watch Crosby go to Colorado and win somewhere else. that would just be terrible.
They could just retire. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. Ricky, Edmonton has to negotiate with Dreisaitl. It's true. There could be something fun there, maybe. Maybe.
Have Grubauer lobby him.
Yeah, no, this is Maddie. Does this mean Dylan doesn't get Gatorade? Yes, I definitely don't get lemon lime Gatorade. Light saying Dylan actually isn't allowed to drink anything after a loss. He barely survived the losing streak. What I get,
them's the rules, Dylan.
What I get is to take a somewhat warm cup of decaf green tea upstairs with me and then not be able to drink until you join, RJ. So now it's just like really cold and gross. That's what I get after a loss. So
yeah, I noticed you taking a swig from that cup. I was wondering what was in there.
Yeah, it's like ice cold decaf green tea. It's not good. I much prefer the lemon lime Gatorade, baby.
Yeah, we got to tell the guys. Speed it up, think of Dylan. That should be just, on the whiteboard in the locker room the rest of the season. Mm-hmm. Just like, think of Dylan.
Yeah, why not? Just casually drop a sticker in there. See what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Just drop a sticker with no back on it, step on it, grind it into the carpet. See if we're invited back.
Yeah.
Don't worry, Furcus will take HGH and grow a foot and 40 pounds in 6 months and join the NHL next year from Steve.
Why not?
Why not? we could probably.
When I heard grow a foot, I just thought like grow another foot.
No. Not quite there yet. Yes, Dylan needs his electrolytes. I hope Dylan puts some whiskey in that cup after this game. And Dylan is on a thirst strike until they win. Do not try it home, Lindsay.
Yeah, take one for the team, Dylan.
I really appreciate everybody. Thank you. This has been good. It's been good to laugh after this. Sean, Gino, and Letang have not exactly helped 87 this season. Ricky, Pitt, Big Four have been okay. Small 16 have been terrible. That is
small 16. I like that.
I love that too. Let's see. I like Lars is the better option to get Draisaitl to Seattle from Zoe. You think we could do that? If you just tell Larson to focus on one thing all offseason.
It'd be worth it for the payoff if you can get it to work.
Yeah, that would be really great. It's just like this game, RJ. I mean, what was it like there? What was the energy in the building? Was there energy in the building? Could there be energy in the building after this one?
Not really. It was quiet. There, you know, there wasn't a whole lot going. There wasn't. Although I will say, because I feel like some of these games, like these real duds of games, the crowd wants to get into it. And so they try, like, for even little things, like a player takes the puck into the offensive zone with possession, you can kind of feel the energy building. And then, of course, when it inevitably turns into nothing, you know, there's just the letdown again. So, yeah, no, it never really got that loud in here tonight. Energy, you know, wasn't that great. But, I mean, there was some cool stuff for women in hockey night, though.
Yes.
You know, they did a great job for that. Like, yes, they always do. But just shame they couldn't get a better game on the ice for it.
Yeah, that is true. Broadcast.
For a while, I was saying like, women in hockey night is awesome. Could it also be goals in hockey night though? Please, second intermission.
No, not allowed.
No,
it's not allowed. Can't have both things. Man, no. The broadcast did a good job of highlighting women in the Kraken organization throughout. That was nice. I'm trying to think of like questions that are related to the game, RJ, that we haven't kind of gone over, but there wasn't anything to this game to talk about is the problem. Like we talked about the good defense. We talked about the dump and chase. We talked about goaltending. I don't know what else there was. They didn't take a penalty. It wasn't even like we got to see a PK.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the refs kind of let them play, although there wasn't a whole lot that was super egregious. You know, they called the one on for Burakovsky, you know, the diving, taking him out. Okay. You got to call that. But yeah, no, I mean, there's a reason I didn't really do any of the intermission analysis like I normally do. There just wasn't. It was just sloppy both ways. I don't know. Because I think it existed on the Jets side too. I don't think they played a particularly good game.
No.
You know, passes were just missing sticks and it was just, I don't know.
That's the frustrating thing was that this game was there. You just had to have more than four shots on goal in the second period. Not to make everything depressing again, everybody. Sorry.
Again, the hope was that it was clear through like one and a half period, like halfway through the game, it was clear what type of game this was going to be. Neither team was on it. It was sloppy and it was just going to be that way. And the hope was just that the Kraken could kind of, both teams would just sleepwalk into overtime because that's kind of where it was going. Right. And you just each get at least a point and then 3-on-3 sorts itself out. However it does, like that would have been a success given everything. Just they gave up the first one. And at that point it was kind of over.
Yeah, that was it. Let's see. Edward, RJ, I thought the same thing. I was like, a foot and 40 pounds sounds like a heavy third foot.
Yeah.
There you go. You weren't alone. Maddie, if I was Draisaitl, I wouldn't be re-signing in Edmonton. It's going to be a tough decision for him to make. Like it's like when Malkin re-signed in Pittsburgh, not this latest time, but back when he was still like in his prime. It's a tough call to make when you're in that situation. If Dunn isn't back against Vegas, will we see an Evans Larson pairing like we have before? Zoe's asking.
It's possible. Dylan, did you see the numbers on how Dumoulin and Larson did tonight, or how the D pairs did tonight? Because Hextall was asked about it after the last game, and he had good things to say about Dumoulin and Larson, even though I thought they had a pretty rough outing, and the numbers seemed to bear that out. But I don't know. I just want to throw out any takeaway from this game. I just feel like it's not valid or anything we should read into. It was just so sloppy.
They had a heck of a lot better game than Alexiak Borgen.
Okay, Alexiak was bad. We can take that away from this game.
That was really bad. I mean, Evan Schultz was their best D pairing. It's their only defensive pairing with a positive expected goals percentage. Really positive anythings as I'm looking at this. That is
just the make them the first pair.
Positive. The Dumoulin Larson one was at least like close to 50. Mm-hmm. 48.5%. So like they were okay. But yeah,
I mean they were probably getting the toughest matchup. So
yeah, but I would go ahead and do that and then just don't play and don't lean on the Larson Evans line pairing as much, right? Know that you have Dumoulin Schultz. They've been very strong throughout the year. You can just kind of play all three defensive pairings roughly the same minutes. And I'd probably just handle it that way if I was them.
Yeah. I mean, that. Why not?
It can't be worse than tonight. Let's see. Kraken pucks were blocked by the glass ceiling from Julia. Coop, do y'all think we see Cale Fleury or is he glued to the press box? I think he's going to be glued to the press box. Is he even there? Like, is he back down with Coachella
Valley? We couldn't figure this out in the podcast. Yeah. I didn't see him around.
Yeah. Pretty sure Cale Fleury got sent back down already from B. We don't totally know, but we're assuming that that's what it was. Let's see. Now, to be fair, we basically didn't lose any major ground tonight because all the teams in the hunt insist on being mid. Yes, it's the few teams that are already in the playoff spot that have decided that they're just going to go for it and be good.
But unfortunately, that's all that matters. Like, yes, honestly, Calgary, Minnesota, St. Louis. Those teams don't matter. If the Kraken can't pass Nashville, Vegas, or LA, one of those.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what the others do.
Yes. Also, if you want to look at this positively, remember back in December when the idea of being a 500 team was thought to be impossible. Rainbows after every storm and all that jazz from Light. Julia, seems like it was insurance in case of a Schultz trade. Yeah. The
it was.
Stuff. Maddie, why did we think Schultz didn't get moved? We couldn't really come up with a good answer earlier on the podcast. Basically, just think that nobody was willing to meet the price and the defensive market just kind of bottomed out really fast today.
That was my guess, is Francis had a price. No one met it.
That's it. Let's see. Gabrielle, do you think Tanev will be on the McCann line if Schwartz isn't back, or will we call up someone else? I feel like he may have stood a better chance if it wasn't the dump and chase setup.
I mean, I'd like to see somebody else on that line.
I mean, will we get Yams come into the lineup and play on that line, you think?
I'd prefer to see that. Look, I'm kind of tired of Tanev in the top six. He doesn't belong there. And that's not a knock on him. He's just not a guy who can finish. And I want someone who at least has a chance of finishing in the top six. So I think there's a chance we see Yams up there. I know Hakstol likes to elevate Tanev whenever there's a vacancy there, and I get why he does it, but yeah. I hope we see something else.
I would rather see Yams there. I think we haven't really gotten to see Yams there all year, and I feel like if anybody, you know, between him, Tanev, and Cartier, those would be like the three guys for that spot. I feel like Yamamoto makes the most sense right now to try.
Yeah, I think so.
Let's see. Some more 23-24 Western Conference mid off. That's exactly what this is. Gabrielle saying Yams brings the energy too, which is nice. Sean agreeing. Yeah, Yams. So yeah, I would go with Yamamoto probably. Sean, Nashville, like them or not, is playing better than mid. They made some pretty strong moves today. They did go out there. I mean, you know, Trotz was a little aggressive. I don't know that he would have been if the team wasn't, you know, 9-0-1 in their last 10, but he knew to go with it.
Yeah, no, I like the wheeling and dealing from Trotz today. I mean, especially like the move for Zucker, like super cheap. That was a great trade for them. But yeah, I mean, of course, the team dictated that, right? You win whatever, 9 out of 10. That's what your GM's going to do for you.
Yep. Light, the evil side of me was really hoping his poor play will help with people being okay with us trading Tanev this summer. I think it has a lot of benefits to us in the long run. I mean, we know there was that one rumor earlier this week that Tanev was maybe, you know, being talked about, most likely teams inquiring about him more so than Ron shopping him. Do you think we could maybe see something in the offseason? Do you think that's how, if free agency isn't going to be the thing for the Kraken, do you think maybe Ron goes for trading guys and just doing a big shakeup that way?
Possibly. Although, I mean, again, if they're not real big players in free agency and they're not kind of making that giant addition, there might not be the urgency to move someone like Tanev because of his cap hit. Because that's the big benefit, right? I mean, he's great to have on your team, and if he's making $1.5 million, he's a perfect role player. It's just the contract that's the issue. And then the question is, what else do you do with that cap space? And if he doesn't have another plan for it, then maybe not. But I mean, I've made my thoughts kind of clear on that a couple podcasts ago. I'd be all for it.
Right. Well, but I mean, like, you make a trade, whether it's Tanev or maybe even Yanni Gourde, and it's strictly to send a message. It isn't necessarily to make up the space cap space wise, because you're not necessarily going to do anything with it. It's strictly just to be like, last season was unacceptable and we got to be better. And this is the message I'm sending. I am doing something because I have to do something after what we just did.
Yeah, it's possible, whether it's Tanev, Gourde, or something else. I mean, look, something has to give in this forward group. What, they've got 10 guys either under contract or RFAs, like, or 10 or 11? I mean, basically, the whole forward group has a chance to come back, essentially. So you have to change it somewhere.
Yeah. So we will see. Lindsay, love Turbo, and it would lead to a lot of angry fans, but Tanev's $3.5 million contract is tough on the fourth line. May need to, you know, he plays on the PK too. It's good there.
Yeah. PK's not great.
No, look, I knew this. I was a Penguins fan before the Kraken stuff came along. This contract was bad there. Like, it was a crazy contract back when it was signed.
You know, I will say it's aged better than I thought it would. Like, I was really critical of it right at the expansion draft. You remember, I was like, why are they taking on this contract? But hey, it's worked better than I thought. Like, they could get out of it and get assets.
It is. Let's see. I guess we could take solace in not being as sad as Sharks fans after the trades from Gabrielle. Yeah, that's got to be rough in San Jose right now. But at least you knew going into the season this is what it was going to be.
I don't know if they thought Hurdle to Vegas is what it was going to be.
I think
that hurts a little bit extra.
Yeah, it does. Let's see. Maybe the Kraken need to be promised a trip to the Sphere and then have it canceled. Julia.
There you go.
Let's see. Edward, Sharks, Jets playing terrible games, dropping 4 valuable points. Seattle Kraken in. West Slide Story. Oh, it's even better.
Okay, there we go.
That is good, Edward. Something's better now. Something is better than nothing now that Ebbs is staying from Coop. The offseason. Yeah, I mean, moving Tanev, I mean, that helps with the cap hit from Ebbs, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, kind of offsets it a little bit.
It's tough. Light, I think the move is to tell Schwartz he's going to be a fourth liner this summer, and if he doesn't like it, you try to move him, but this will be more for the Armchair GM stream. And Sean agreeing that
we can explore that.
Yep. Let's see. Zoe, we have the Amazon bubble spheres downtown. Maybe they could not go to those. Let's see. Ricky, Vegas doesn't worry about angry fans. Winning cures anger. I mean, it
cures everything.
It's how they've gotten by with it, and they still have a fan base after everything they've done to that fan base. It is unfortunately true. I'll do a quick last call for anybody, but otherwise we passed the hour mark. Long since finished talking about this terrible game.
Yep. I'm sorry. I don't have anything else more to say. I don't know. The media meal was great. Well, I mentioned that in the Discord. Yeah,
there you go.
Like, Marination is awesome. Check it out, anybody.
That was your clue, RJ. The evening peaked.
Yeah.
You should just take it off. Oh, yeah. Man. Let's see. Maddie, I can't imagine going to next season with the same forward group. It's clearly not working. This team, even if largely unchanged, will be better next season. I feel like they just need a hard reset this summer, turn it off, then back on again from Lindsay. I mean, something needs to happen. I tend to lean towards the, yes, something needs to happen. I just don't know that you're going to be able to do it.
Yeah. The off and then back on again thing though, does remind me of a funny comment from up in the press bench earlier tonight. After it was clear, the game was so sloppy. Someone said, have they tried just turning the game off and then on again? And they're like, well, didn't they try that against the Rangers? And I'm like, well, no. They turned it off. They just didn't turn it back on.
Yes, that is true. No, it's It is quite a thing. It's quite a thing. Thank you all so much, though, for joining us for this one. Thank you all so much for sticking around, talking about this, having fun, goofing off with us here late after this game. Really appreciate it. Talking about the future of the Kraken. I mean, this is what these are here for, right? After games like tonight, we all get to still be here with each other and talk about the team and you know, explore what we want to explore. Like, that's the fun aspect of these post games, is that even after rough games like this, we can still have a good time, still communicate and be here together. And so I just want to thank everybody for being a part of all that. And of course, thank Flatstick Pub for helping make it happen by sponsoring this. My big thing going into this one, RJ, was Kraken played a great game. If they're playing at Flatstick, zero looks pretty good.
it does. I saw a comment in chat earlier too, like, you know, Flatstick, great, you know, theme for this game.
So hopefully though, future games not so Flatstick game friendly, not so mini golf friendly from the Kraken. Hopefully they go for something a little bit different in the future. I have a feeling they will. I still think the potential is there for fun Kraken games if they let it be. So we will see what they do against Vegas. Looking forward to those games. Looking forward to future post games with everybody. We will see you all next time.